Well, it's often been said that students from China have a completely different focus on their education compared to here in Australia, and it's rather telling when you consider that Victoria's top public servant, Department of Premier and Cabinet Secretary Chris Eccles, has led a delegation to China to meet with early learning and teaching experts to discuss language education and how to improve science, technology and engineering and math skills here in Australia. So, gee, they've spent a gonski and they've got nothing to show for it. So how does the Chinese style of education differ from ours? We're going to have a chat to Dr. Kevin Donnelly, Senior Research Fellow in the Australian Catholic University and a good friend of our program.
We've had him on many times. Yes.
Kevin, good morning.
G'day.
Good morning, Kevin.
Where do you start with this? So we're going over there to ask the Chinese, I guess we're asking them what they got right and we got wrong. I think I know the answer.
Well, we do, and but before I get into that, I mean, this happens every 3 or 4 years. Whenever the international, you know, testing results are released, people look at, well, who are in the top 3 or 4 countries? If you go back 20 years, it was Sweden. Then it was Singapore. Then it's Shanghai. So you get these so-called experts travelling around the world every 3 or 4 years trying to catch up with those countries that outperform Australia.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a travelling caravan.
Yeah, and it is true, Kevin, that they've spent, and this is not an anti-Labor or anti-Liberal comment, it's just a general observation, they've spent more and more and more of taxpayers' money on education and the results are actually going down.
Exactly right. And one of the most, the upsetting aspect of the current debate, it really was all about a bidding war. You know, Bill Shorten said, I'll put in $22 billion. And then the government said, oh, 18. And then Shorten said, that's not enough. And the union said, not enough. So then, Birmingham put in another $5, $6 billion. And really all they're talking about is the money. Mm. And there is a second report, though, apparently, that will be done by early next year, again led by David Gonski, which is going to try and work out what is the best way to spend the money. But I really don't, you know, have much hope that they're going to find the right answers on that.
Yeah.
All right. Now, one of our listeners, Sonia, has just sent an email in. Can I read it to you? It is fabulous, actually. And this is from Sonia. She says, about Australian education, instead of our loony lefties, education authorities travelling to China and returning with some distorted stories, how about the Chinese education authorities come to Australia and visit our classrooms and give their opinion on our teachers' performance, especially as far as discipline is concerned, and assess the curriculum and other social matters that brainwash our kids? I can just imagine their report and what it will be. At least it will reflect our big educational failure to future generations.
You know, she's dead right, and it's interesting, England, about 3 or 4 years ago, they actually had Chinese teachers go to places like London to teach. And the crazy thing that happened is that after 2 or 3 months, the teachers resigned, went back to Shanghai, and they basically said, we can't teach these London children because they're so rude, they don't want to learn, they're disruptive. And the same thing in Australia. We have, you know, one of the highest rates of badly behaved kids, disruptive classrooms. And so even if we had the Chinese come out here, really what they're going to tell us is what we already know, that we need a more rigorous curriculum, back to basics. We need more discipline. And parents actually have to do more to get their children to respect teachers and to respect learning.
Yeah, and what you've said is exactly word spot on. That's exactly what we need. George and I have been to Asia, and I've said it 100 times on this program, the most interesting thing about going to China was, both in Beijing and in Shanghai, 3 o'clock you don't see hundreds of kids hanging around the streets or hanging around McDonald's with nothing to do. They're home getting educated because they know that unless they have an education, there's no hope for them, really. They become a manual labourer rather than go on to do great things. So they've got the proper education. They're being taught at home. We just can't get that discipline into our system here, obviously.
You're dead right again. And, you know, I look at some of these selective schools in Sydney and Melbourne. Up to 80, 90% of those kids are either Asian or Indian.
Mm.
80, 90%. And they're the smart kids who are getting into, you know, the government schools that are selective.
All right, why, Kevin?
Examination.
Why?
And the Anglo-Australian kids, you know, they're not even there.
Yeah. Again, why? Why is it Asian and Indian, and what's wrong with the Australian kids?
Well, part of it, you know, we love to win in sport. We love whenever we can beat the Kiwis in rugby or cricket. Mm. But when it comes to education, we've got this idea, well, you know, don't compete. We don't want to be elitist. Competition is bad. You know, don't give kids the idea that they might fail because you'll upset them. Mm. So we've got this kind of egalitarian, she'll be right attitude.
Mm. Yeah.
And we don't push our kids hard enough.
Now these...
And also, just finally, you know, I benchmarked our curriculum recently, compared it to Singapore, Korea, South Korea, Shanghai. They do a lot more difficult maths and science in the early years, and they do it, they focus on it, they concentrate on it, whereas in Australia, all our teachers in primary, they have to do bike ed, safety ed, stranger danger, obesity, you know, gender theory.
Yeah.
We've lost the plot.
Yeah, a lot of those things are things parents should teach their kids. When I said Asian and Indian, they're Australians too, but by Australian kids, I meant what we'd call, I guess, the multi-generational Caucasian English background kids that we would have called Aussie kids before. They're all Australians, but for some reason, the kids with a background in China or India seem to do better. Now, is that because they don't play as much sport? There's more emphasis actually on the education rather than the sporting side of it?
Well, to a degree. I mean, I taught in a boys' school down in Melbourne, and we had a very heavy concentration of Asian kids. They weren't very good at football or rugby, I'll tell you that, but they did play badminton and table tennis pretty well.
And they're the world champions at that.
Yeah.
They are. So, you know, they're involved in their sport, but part of it is the Asian, you know, the tiger mums.
Yeah, and the family.
They push the kids.
Yeah.
But they teach them to respect older people. I love travelling. You know, I go up to Laos and Burma and Thailand, Singapore. They respect older people and they respect learning. And part of the problem in Australia is, as I said, we've got this attitude in the classroom, don't push the kids too hard. I mean, I read just the other day, they've stopped, you know, once you, if you're playing footy and you're a kid, you don't keep the score anymore because somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose.
Oh, no, that's stupid. That really is stupid. Hey, Kevin, thank you very much. Good to have a chat. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Kevin. Bye-bye. Thank you very much indeed.